Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read from verses 1 all the way through verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto the life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So, what does it mean to know Jesus? What does it mean? We see here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, he says, besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue. We're looking at in verse 5 there it says add. And we all know from math or school, when you add something, you're adding something more than what you already have. Now, apart from this, your faith in Christ, we can do nothing for it besides trust Christ. He says in Romans chapter 10, verses 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then through Romans, we realize, to come to that knowledge of Christ, we have to realize that we are a sinner. According to Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot meet God's standard in and of ourselves. And then he goes on in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does it mean to know Jesus? First, we have to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But then, from then, he says, add, there in verse 5, to your faith virtue. Well, the faith in and of itself is simply taking God at his word and believing it and then acting on it. As James says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So works is not part of our salvation. It's part of a result of what took place in our heart. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your finger in 2 Peter there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 and 10. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Just like it talks about in Romans chapter 4. If you go there for a minute, Romans chapter 4. dealing with Abraham. But Romans chapter 4, it says there in verse 3, it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." But in verse 5 it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of a man who, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." So in and of ourselves, there's nothing we can do for salvation besides accept the truth and believe on Christ, as it talks about in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Romans 10, 9 through 13, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is that simple. People like to take and add stuff to it. But everything we do is a result of what has happened in our heart. So what does it mean to know Christ? So faith is the gift of believing God in his word. But then it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Add to your faith virtue." Simply, virtue is moral excellence. I mean, we're to add to that. But how do we do that? By the reading and studying of God's word. By being obedient to his word. But then he says there's another thing here. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue to virtue, knowledge. And that's insight into or application of the Christian truth. It's taking what you know and applying it. It's the same thing as when we go out to do a job, we take the knowledge we have or what we've been taught or what we've done for many years, and we apply it to what we are trying to do. It's the same thing in the Christian faith. When we add to virtue knowledge, we are taking what we know and applying it. And then he goes on to say there in verse 6, it says, "To knowledge, temperance." Temperance is simply self-control or self-discipline. Again, that comes through our desire to please God, our desire to trust him, to be obedient to him. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, he says, "I die daily." There's a dying to self that has to take place before we can have self-discipline or self-control. Because in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. Christ says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He talks about that in John chapter 15. He is the vine, we are the branches. So we see from temperance, he says, to knowledge, temperance, which is self-discipline, control. Then there comes to temperance, in verse 6, patience, something none of us like. We have to be patient. That's endurance under stress. Sometimes there's things we have to be patient for. Sometimes we're stuck in line somewhere where we have to wait and be patient. It's simply endurance. Sometimes we're going to go through some hard times as Christians, difficulties. Well, God helps us with patience. But then he says, add to your and to your patience godliness. Godliness. And that's devotion to God. That's when you have committed yourself. I put down here, this takes commitment. We have to be committed to living for God, or trusting him first, and then living our lives in such a way that pleases him. It takes commitment. And then we see kindness. Patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. This, we're going to turn, hold your fingers in 2 Peter. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 12. This is what I would call the golden rule. And I think we're all familiar with the golden rule. But this is how, it's in the scriptures. It says, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Brotherly kindness. Now, that starts, and I'm sure Neil understands, we've been around people in our lives that demand respect. You know what I'm talking about. And they want respect first. Well, our job as Christians is to give respect first to others, because we do unto them as we would want done unto us. See, kindness is treating others gently. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. You put them first. See, the true meaning of joy, I got this from somebody else, is putting Jesus first, for the J, others second, and then yourself last. That's where we find that true joy. So we add to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. But then lastly, to brotherly kindness, charity. And that's love for God and others. See, the greatest commandment, two greatest commandments in the New Testament, what is it? To love God supremely with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And then what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to have a love for God first, but then secondly, we need to have a love for others. And then he says here, to brotherly kindness, charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you add all of these things to your faith, you're going to be the Christian that you ought to be. To those around you, they're going to look at you and they're going to think, whoa, there's something different about this guy or this lady. What's different about them? And they're going to ask you about your faith. They're going to ask you about your life. He says, you're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says in verse 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things, this is where self-evaluation comes in. We need to evaluate our lives and, hey, do we have these things in our lives? Are we practicing this in our Christian walk? He says he is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There are many today that profess Christianity, but yet I think it's mere profession in most cases, but then in some cases they simply have forgotten that God has purged their sins. He has taken their sins away. He talks about he cast our sins away as far as east is from the west in Psalm 103, verse 12. We have forgotten. But then he says in verse 10, he says, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things that we just described here in verses 4 through 5 and 6 and 7, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So, if we do what God tells us, if we're obedient to His Word, and we practice these things in our daily life, He says, you're never able to fall. You shall never fall. So, first of all, knowing Jesus means developing these 8 specific graces or Christian characteristics, as we see there. Secondly, knowing Jesus means developing these 8 graces in conjunction with each other. So he says, add these things, and there's a list. We don't get to pick and choose. God says, add these. This means we cannot be selective about which graces we want to develop. We need them all. We need to be well-rounded. Thirdly, we must be intentional about knowing Jesus. It says in verse 5, it says, giving all diligence. There has to be some effort put forth. Giving all diligence. We need to, as we look at some places in the Scripture, it talks about running a race. And Paul, in his later years, and Timothy, he talks about, he's run all as hard as he could. He gave everything he has. And one day, he's hoping, it's like all of us, we stand before God, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to give all diligently. So developing these graces does not come naturally, but supernaturally. We need God's help. We can't do it in and of ourselves. That's why it's a dying to self daily. That's why we need to submit to Him. What's it say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, we live when we empty ourselves of ourselves. When we die to self, we allow the Spirit to take over. We allow Christ to move in and take control of our bodies. See, this requires effort, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. So we need to know Christ, but why? Why do we need to know Jesus? Why? Well, there in verse 8, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it helps us. Why we need to know him? Because it helps us live productive Christian lives. He says if you possess these qualities, if you possess these things, then you're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of you. You're going to be able to be productive. You're going to be able to. What God's desire is that we reproduce ourselves, so to speak. Reproduce others who trusted Christ. That's why we're to walk out our faith. Second of all, we see there in verse 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Well, not only do we need to realize, why do we need to know Jesus? Because we need to live productive lives, but we also need to remember why we were saved. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But then he says there in verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. When we hear the word mercy, that's taking what we deserve and withholding it. God, we deserve God's wrath, but he withholds it. He's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So we see that we went from our old selves. We need to remember why we were saved. It was by God's grace, by his mercy. Thirdly, we see there in verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. We need to avoid falling back into continual lifestyle of sin. And it's a daily process. We have to get into God's Word, read. It convicts of sin. It helps us. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's going to do that for us. But we need to come to him. We need to, it's to avoid falling back. If we add these things to our Christian walk, he says that you, if you do these things, you shall never fall. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If you back up to verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. It's not just by what we say, but in deed and in truth. Words aren't worth much if the lifestyle doesn't go along with it. We need to live, as James says, I will show you my faith by my works. People know that we are Christians. Why? By how we carry ourselves, by how we talk, by how we walk. So these things is to avoid falling back into a continual life of sin. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never sin. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:8, He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we're not going to be sinless, but we surely are going to sin less. We can never be sinless until we are glorified, until we're taken home to be with the Lord. Then we see there in it means that we should continue to grow and become more like Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, we're going to be conformed to what? The image of his Son. He wants us to be more like Christ. We need to be Christ-like. And fourth, so we see that we need to live productive Christian lives. We need to remember why we were saved. We need to avoid falling back into a continual lifestyle of sin. Fourth is simply to know to go to heaven knowing we have done our best. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you go to stand before the Lord one day, is he going to be able to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Have we done all that we could do for him? See, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul was getting to a point to where he knew he was finished. He knew his work was done here. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do thy diligence to come. He says there in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Again, there's that same, give all diligence, give diligence. Because if we do these things, he says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So why is it important to know Jesus? Because we need to be productive Christians. We need to remember why we were saved. Sometimes we need to take back and go back to that point in our life and remember what God had done in our life. We need to be reminded. Thirdly, is to avoid falling back into continual lifestyle sin. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're not going to be out sinning. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. You can't have both in your life. And then one day when we step into heaven, we step before the Lord, we'll know that we've done our best. Can we say that we've done our best? Let's pray.